Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On Sunday, I told you that the church fathers were very wise in their creation of this lectionary. Over time, as it was put together, they put a little bit of Lent in the middle of Easter. That is, we said, a little bit of sorrow in the midst of joy, that we might understand how great our joy really is. The one who experiences misfortune, who experiences grief, when grace comes upon them, it is truly known to them that they do not deserve it. Grace becomes overwhelming as we are fulfilling that understanding that we are poor, miserable sinners who have no merit or worthiness in us by which God might favor us. But we are favored by God. We are the recipients of His great love, and we also possess the righteousness of Christ. You heard the Apostle St. John write in his first epistle, "I write these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." In this life, there is something which we speak about concerning ourselves, that we are at the same time the justified, those who have been declared innocent because of Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins. That is, He, the ransom price, who has bought us back by His own blood. And though we are those who have been justified and brought into the church, we at the same time remain sinners. It is not that we desire to sin, for that is the old Adam in us. St. Paul says, "That is sin within me that does those things which I do not wish to do. For I am not to identify myself with the old man." He is old and dead and drowned for a reason. Not that I should resurrect him. I live as the new man. And these things which we have written for us in the scriptures are written that we may not sin. That we may not desire sin as some of them have. That we may find ourselves again looking for the path that leads to righteousness. St. John lays this path out for us. He says that we ought to walk where Christ has walked. Now that sounds like quite the hill to walk up. For Christ was sinless. He did nothing that was against God's holy law. And then to love, He fully shows this love. He manifests the love of God in that He dies not for those that deserved it, for none deserve His sacrifice. But He dies for us while we are yet sinners, while we are God's enemy. So this should be all the more reason that when we feel ourselves afflicted, when we recognize that within us has welled up that desire again to sin, that the old Adam within us is clinging on for dear life to be who you once were again, fully, we ought to get to our knees, to bow our head before the Almighty God and pray to the Advocate, to Christ Himself, to help us. The word there for Advocate is Paraclete. It's a word that you ought to be familiar with because it is the name by which God has sent the Holy Spirit to us by. The Paraclete, the Comforter, the Helper. And here Jesus also is known by such a name. He is our helper. He has not ascended into the heavenly places so that He may sit at the right hand of God and instead of interceding for us, be as the devil was, the accuser. Jesus has ascended into the heavenly places, all things given into his hand, all authority in heaven and on earth handed over to him, so that he might be the mediator between God and man. For he himself ascends not as a spirit, but as one who is in the flesh. As we are looking forward to Ascension Day coming up here very soon, we consider this, that God has ascended in the flesh, that our human flesh is next to God in heaven, and he who is our propitiation is also our helper, who goes there to plead for us. To say to the Father, this is your dear child, whom I have purchased by my own blood, whom I have reconciled to you by my sacrifice and death. Help him. You ought to not consider yourselves lost in this world when you are in trouble. As you heard in Psalm 32, that God is the one who delivers us in all our afflictions. He, the one that we ought to turn to because he has the power and the authority to bring us out of our turmoil, to bring us out of our sin, to bring us out of all guilt and shame. And then, having done so, to keep us in the same. For we know that of our own strength we have no power. We are so weak in the flesh. Though the spirit is willing, the flesh be weak. And when we are tempted by sin, especially in such moments of weakness as life brings upon us, when we are suffering misfortunes, uncertainties, poverties, loss, whatever it may be, these temptations often may seem bigger than what they really are. And though we may desire to keep his commandments and to walk in the footsteps of our Savior, even all the way bearing our own cross, yet we may stumble and fall. And it may seem at that time that the cross which God has laid upon you be all crushing. But it is not. It is not. Whatever afflictions we carry on in this life, it is that we ought to be conformed to the one who is the Son of God. John the Baptist said, as he witnessed what Christ was doing, he must increase, I must decrease. Dear Christians, that is our life. We do not pray that I may increase before God, but that Christ may increase in me. That what he has done be all in all fulfilling to me. That I lack nothing when I am his and he is mine. That I have all things when he abides in me and I walk according to his word. I should fear no evil. I should fear no enemy, not even my own sins, which have long been forgiven by the one who has been crucified for me, should ever deter me from continuing on toward that which God has revealed. That is my life, the shining light of God, who has revealed himself to the world in the glory which he has brought through the cross on his way to ascending into the heavenly places. And they're going to prepare a place for us. Dear Christian, as you hear from the words of the Apostle John, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. You possess this. Your righteousness is given to you. It is Christ's righteousness. All the things which you have done wrong, even your most holy and best works that you think are righteous before God, are righteous because Christ has purified all sin from you. God is the one who keeps his promises. God is the one who comes to you in the midst of your afflictions and comforts you. He, the one that is our helper, that pleads before us before the Father. No Christian ought to walk in this life unsure of his salvation. For we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is your Savior, he your deliverer, he your righteousness. So live your life following in his footsteps, calling upon him in all of your afflictions, and remembering that he who believes in him possesses, has, already even now, the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all their understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.